I'm so excited to be with you tonight. I feel like it was just yesterday that I was here at Mum's, and it's actually been like 10 years, 12 years, whatever, which is crazy to me. And some of my favorite mentor moms are still here, so that's exciting to me as well. But I'm excited to be with you tonight and just share a little bit of what the Lord has put on my heart for this topic. It was funny because I was in my ABF on Sunday and we were sharing prayer requests, and they're like, how can we be praying for you? And my husband has been in this crazy fierce battle with kidney stones this year, and so he had one last week, and so I was telling my table and kind of updating them, and I said, oh yeah, I'm teaching a couple times this week too, so just pray for me. And they said, well, what are you teaching on? And I said, well, I'm talking to the moms about balancing serving your family and serving in the church. And they just all started laughing. They're like, so God's been preparing for you for that this week? I'm like, yeah, I guess he has. So it has been a little bit of a crazy week, but it just goes to show you that, like, I'm not an expert in this. I'm still figuring it out. I'm still in a place where I'm figuring out how to balance things and how to care well for my family and serve in the church and serve my neighbors. And so I am just excited to let you hear a little bit what God has been teaching me, pass it on to you. So I was thinking that when I was in the mom's phase of life, I remember coming and thinking like, okay, just like tell me what to do. You know, tell me what to do, give me the checklist, I will do the things. And if you tell me what to do, I will do it, and then I will be successful too. But when I came, what I actually needed was kind of some of the big picture stuff before I could get to the practical stuff. So here's what I'm gonna do for you tonight. I'm gonna lay a good foundation, hopefully, and then I'm gonna give you some practical just principles, and then you're gonna work out some of the more practical things at your table during discussion. Fair enough? Okay, so I'm not gonna give you all the answers, but you are gonna have time to talk to your tables about it. So let me go ahead and just pray for us again, and then we'll get started. Lord, I just thank you again for the opportunity to be here tonight. I thank you for these moms who are just so dedicated to their families that they want to come together to learn how to be a good mom and how to mother well and how to care well for their families. And so I just pray that you would use me tonight, Lord. Help me to speak clearly, help truth to come out, and just help me to say the words that you would have me speak tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so since we are going to start and set a foundation, I want to read you one of my favorite passages that is going to set our foundation on the gospel. Because if we're not centered on the gospel, why are we here? What are we doing, right? So I'm going to read to you from Ephesians 2. And so this is a passage that you probably know. It's one of my favorites. It's the gospel, so we got to hear the bad news before we get to the good news, you know. So you'll hear that at first, but I'm going to read to you Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. So here's what it says. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. This is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And this is one of my favorite passages because, again, it just lays out the gospel. It tells us that we were dead in our sins and trespasses, but God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, and that is the good news. But it's not by any good works that we can do. We cannot earn our way to God. It is only by the work of Christ that we can be with God. But I love verse 10, which a lot of times people leave out, which says, For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, which is like mind-blowing to me, that we should walk in them. And so we have to get this order right. And this is why I want to lay this as the foundation. We are saved for good works. We are not saved by good works. So if we say we're sinners and God created us for good works and then we're saved, that is the wrong order. And so it's really important as we're talking about serving that we understand that there is nothing that we can do to earn our salvation or earn our righteousness. It's not by our works, because we would boast about it, is what he said. So it's not about our works, it's about the work of Christ and what he's done on our behalf. And so I hope that that is a good way for you to start, because to me that is so freeing. You know, I don't have to earn God's favor, because I already have all of the favor that he's gonna give me. He gives me grace, he gives me unmerited favor. It's not because of my works. So if you set this as your foundation, then when you're thinking about serving, you can think about serving as a joy and not a burden, not something that you're doing to earn, but something that God's prepared for you, and you just have to figure out how to walk in those. So that's where I want us to start. So I hope that you will see that, again, serving is not a burden, it's not always easy, but there is joy in serving others. So when we look at the Bible, I think we see kind of three areas of service for us that we know, and I know you're familiar with these, but let's just make sure we know. So the first thing is that you're here and you're a mom. That's all I know about you. So you're meant to serve your family, right? That's an obvious one. Your children, your family, your husband, if you have one, is right in front of you. And those are the most immediate people in your life that you are called to serve. And that is a blessing. That's a huge blessing as moms that we get to care for our families. Proverbs 31:27 puts it this way. It says, she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. And I know if you have little kids, you are not being idle, I would imagine. They don't let you be idle. They want you all the time. So, it says she looks well to the ways of her household. And I love that phrase, because it's not completely prescriptive. It just is, you're looking well to the way of your household. That's going to look different for different people. Different families are set up in different ways, but we are looking well to our home. So again, I'm not going to spend too much time here, because you're all here because you know you're supposed to care for your families. So the people in our homes are the closest to us, and serving them is to be our priority and our joy. And again, that can look different. The way that we prioritize those things might look different for different women, but it doesn't change the fact that those are the people closest to proximity to us, and we are called to serve them. And it's a joy to serve them. So then if we kind of move out a little bit from our families, we are called to serve in the church. And you've already been talking about it tonight with different opportunities to serve. But the exciting thing is, again, because God has created these good works for us to walk in, is that when you became a believer, the Holy Spirit gave you a gift, a spiritual gift that you're able to use to serve in the church. And there are lots of places in the Bible where we have different lists of how you can serve in the church and some of the spiritual gifts that are there. If you're unfamiliar with those, I'll list a few of them. So just serving is a spiritual gift, meeting people's physical needs. There is teaching. There is encouraging others. There's giving, which is more of like a financial type giving. There is mercy and compassion. We all know those people who are just a little bit more compassionate than the rest of us. They have a gift for that. There's leadership. We see people taking leadership here at Moms. There's discernment. The ability to have wisdom to apply to everyday situations. There's evangelism, telling others the good news. There are more than just those, but those are some. So I'm hoping by reading those lists, maybe that's jogging your memory or your thought a little bit. But here's what 1 Corinthians says. It says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them in all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So the gifts are supposed to be used for the good of the church and the building up of the church, not for our own boasting, like we already read. So I love thinking about the giftings. The other thing that we find is that, like we said, there are a variety of gifts, and they're not more important than one another. We need all of these gifts. And so the way Paul puts it is, he just says it this way in 1 Corinthians. He says, "For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body.'" This is like perfect for little kids, right? This is the illustration that they would get. So anyway, "the foot should say, or if the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it less any part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be?" Okay, you get what he's saying? He's like, we can't all have the same gifts. It wouldn't be any good. We just have one person. But as it is, God arranges the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. So as he chose is how he's giving us these giftings. So one of the examples I was thinking, if you were at the coffee house back in February, it was great. And, you know, a lot of times when we're at an event like that, even tonight, you know, there's a person up here speaking, and that's great. And Laura Faye did an awesome job, and I learned a ton from her. But if Laura Faye were the only person that had anything to do with the coffee house, it would not have been the same event. It would have been great. We would have walked in. We would have heard her speak. It would have been wonderful. But, like, we needed the people to make the coffee, or it wasn't the coffee house. And we need the coffee because we have to do all the things. We need the coffee for that. So my point is that we need a lot of different people with a lot of different giftings to make the body work the way the body should work. And I think that's really important too in this mom's phase of life, because as we already said, the priority is on your family. Those like 0 to 3 years are so important. And so sometimes it feels like, I don't know, how I can't even get done what I need to get done in my home. How am I supposed to do stuff outside? But it doesn't have to be this big grand thing all the time. You know, you just see where you have a gifting, or you see where there's a need, and you plug in and you just go for it, you know. If you don't know what your spiritual gift is or where you should be, as I just said, just start serving somewhere, you know, see how it goes. Just start. And also talk to the others around you. And you are. Tonight you're going to do that. So I encourage you to talk to the ladies at your table. Talk to people you know. Also, though, if you see a gifting in someone else, point it out to them. You know, I can't tell you how helpful that's been in my life to just have somebody go, "That was really cool that you did that." And if it comes naturally to you because it's a gift from the Lord, then sometimes you're like, I didn't do anything. I just like made the coffee for the coffee house. It wasn't a big deal. Well, it was a big deal to those women who were waiting in line to get all the coffee, you know? So just jump in and start serving somewhere. And then the other thing is that sometimes you don't always get asked to serve in the way that you think you're gifted in. So sometimes you have to step outside of your comfort zone and just fill a need where you see it. And the Lord will use you in that way too, and he'll equip you to do it. And I would say just have an open mind as you're thinking about how to serve. I 100%, when I was here and sitting in Mums, was not thinking that I was gonna be leading a Bible study, for sure not teaching theology. That was like nowhere on my radar. But the Lord was working even in this stage. As I was studying the Bible, he was putting these things in my heart, and I didn't know what to do with them. And then eventually, at the right time, in the right season, he was able to kind of plug me in where he has me now. And that, you know, the same thing is happening. I'm sure that he is doing things in my life now and prompting me in ways that are preparing me for however I'm gonna serve in the future. I just don't know how that's gonna be. So, I'm getting off script from what I said, but that works. Okay, so yeah, but the point is that you don't always, it's not necessarily like, yes, I'm really good at this and this is where I'm supposed to be. Sometimes you serve in places that you're not sure, but you see a need and you fill it. So that's the church. So we have our family, we have our church, and then we have our neighbor. And neighbor is such a broad category, right? neighbor is like anybody that you just come into contact with on a regular basis. So this also includes your family, because you see them, they're your neighbors. This could be your coworkers. This could be your actual neighbors who live right around you. This could be my Harris Teeter delivery lady, Elizabeth, who brings the stuff to my car. I know her, I know she needs rain boots, and I'm trying to get her some. Anyway, but those are your neighbors, the people that you see around you. And Jesus told us that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God and to love your neighbor as yourself. And then he also talked about in the Great Commission that we're supposed to go into the world, that we're supposed to make disciples and baptize and teach them. And one of my favorite verses is Matthew 5:16, which says, "Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." So we keep seeing this theme of like, it's not about us. It's not about us because we would boast about it. It's all about him. And so we want to give him the glory, and we want others to give him the glory because of our good works. A really good book, I don't know if you mentioned this, but she asked me if I had any recommendations, and I said The Gospel Comes with a House Key by Rosaria Butterfield. Has anybody read that one? Okay, good. It's great. I love her writing, and it's just a really beautiful picture of how she opens her home to people. I mean, she's just always like, come on in, help me fold the laundry, that kind of stuff. So it's really beautiful, but also here's the thing about that book. It doesn't have to look exactly like that, okay? Because when I read that book, I was like, I don't know. I don't know if I can do this. So don't let it scare you. Again, it's not prescriptive. Don't go, oh, Rosaria did this, so I've got to do it too. No. But it can give you a vision and just an idea for how you can get people in. You can get to know your neighbors. And it takes a long time. You know, I've lived in my house for 12 or 13 years, and it's just taken a long time for me to know my actual neighbors. But when I was thinking, okay, what have we walked through with our neighbors? I made a list. We've walked through new babies. We've walked through birthday celebrations. We've walked through the literal changing of seasons, so shoveling snow and mowing grass and pulling weeds. But we have also walked with people through divorce. We have gone through death. We have had dementia. We have had mental illness. We have had a house fire where people were put out of their home for a while. So the world beyond us is hurting, and we are able to be a light to the people around us. And so it is really important that as we have time and as we just see people in our natural days, that we do try to interact with them and get to know our neighbors. So those are our areas, right? We don't have to work to get to God. We are his because of Christ's work for us. He created these good works for us to walk in. We serve our families, we serve our church, we serve our neighbors, okay? You've got all that. And now you're like, okay, but Laura, how? How do I do that, right? So let me give you some of the kind of practical, not tips, but principles, and then we can talk about them at our tables. I realized as I was putting this all together, at the end of it, I was like, you know what word I don't have anywhere in here is balance. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of because, actually, when Alyssa asked me about the topic, I was like, oh, I hate the word balance, but okay. You have to use it because people know what you're talking about, right? But balance is like never what it actually looks like in real life. Balance to me says, okay, I got up this morning and I had my quiet time and I homeschooled my kids and I baked cookies for my neighbor and I served in the church and I hung out with my husband and like repeat that day after day and then I'm balanced. No, that's never going to happen. That's never, never going to happen. At least it hasn't for me. Okay, maybe it was. Maybe there's somebody else and you should have her up here, but that's not what it looks like for me. And actually when I Googled, what is a balanced life? Okay, here's what I got from Google. Balanced life means achieving optimal health in all aspects of your life. Relationships, work, fitness, health, and emotional happiness. I read that and I was like, that is oppressive. who is supposed to be able to do that, right? Okay, so that's not the balance we're looking for. We are not looking for that kind of balance where everything is in line all the time. We're looking to have our priorities correct, and then the balance comes when we kind of just shift to make our priorities our priorities. I don't know how else to say it, but it's not gonna look like this checklist. Perfect example, with my husband and his kidney stones and trying to do this stuff this week. I mean, last week, what did I have on my plate to do? I was like, oh, I'm gonna prepare to speak at Mom's, and I am teaching theology tomorrow night, which is only because there was a snow day, okay? But again, I tried to balance. I was like, well, I'm not teaching theology in April, so I can say yes to Mom's, but then life happens. What are you gonna do, you know? So thankfully, you know, I had been able to prepare earlier for this week, and then last week when my husband needed my attention, I went and he was the priority, you know? And the thing is that if we have our priorities in order, and we are making plans, we're not just going willy-nilly, but we can trust that the Lord, if the Lord has called us to something, he's also going to equip us with what we need. You know, he's gonna give us what we need. And so that is kind of more the balance that we're going for, if that makes sense. Okay, now I should really look back at my notes. okay, so kind of when we're thinking about more practical principles, here's what I was thinking. Here's how I kind of summed it up. You cannot be all things to all people at all times, but you can joyfully use your gifts that the Lord has given you to serve others. You can do both. You can't be everybody, but you can use your gifts to serve. So the main practical thing that I would say, honestly, is that you really need to pray. You really need to pray that the Lord will show you where he wants you to serve. I mean, you just can't walk into it blindly. You need to ask him, Lord, where do you want me to be? And will you show me? And then you talk to other people. You talk to your husband. You talk to your friends. You get their advice. You get godly counsel on what to do. And then every season that you're in, you reevaluate. You know, there's nobody that says you have to be in this serving position for the rest of your life. You reevaluate, you see what's going on with your family, and then you just recalibrate. Life is gonna get out of balance, it just will. And so when it does, you learn from your mistakes, if it's even a mistake that you made, or you see where you are, and then you change course if you need to. And again, you trust God to give you the strength when things get crazy. So those are kind of some overarching principles. Some of the other things I was thinking was you need to know your tendencies. So you need to know, I have seen people on both ends of the spectrum. You're either like a yes person or a no person when it starts to serve it. You know what I'm talking about? Okay. I'm a yes person. I like to say yes to all the things. I'm like, yes, I'll do it. That sounds great. Let's make it happen. Okay. I have had to learn to back off from that. One of the things for you yes people who like to say yes to everything is that, you know, you kind of have to recognize that, like, you're replaceable. So there are other people. If I had said no to speaking tonight, they would have found someone else. If my husband had a kidney stone and I couldn't come tonight, you guys would have figured it out. You know, like, you don't have to have me. I'm happy to be here. I am. I'm totally happy to be here. But I'm replaceable, and I have to realize that sometimes, and yes people have to realize that. The only place that you're irreplaceable is as a wife and mom, you know. And that doesn't mean that you can't ever serve. I mean, my husband and my kids are home tonight. I'm not with them. I said yes to this, which means I said no to hanging out with them tonight. But that's okay. They're having fun. Father-daughter time, you know. But that is something that you have to learn, for lack of a better word, to balance, you know, and think about that. The other thing for the yes people is not to avoid rest. Rest is a really important thing. A lot of times for yes people, we think that rest is like holding us back from doing our work, when rest is really the fuel that allows us to do the work. So we really do have to think about rest and create margin, because things come up like kidney stones. And if you didn't have margin to kind of work that out ahead of time, then you'd be really stressed coming into it. Okay, so then there are no people, right? There are no people. This is like my husband. This is why we, again, balance each other out. Well, he's like, no, you need to say no to something. Anyway, but the no people, and again, there's nothing Okay, so I said I'm a yes person. I don't want this to come across as like everybody should be a yes person and the no people are terrible. No, they're both important. Okay, that's why we balance each other out. But so I said the no people have to kind of back off sometimes. The no people sometimes have to learn how to step up. You know, sometimes I will see people who are kind of hiding. They're like, oh, I can't do anything right now because I've got my kids at home and and they're focused on that, which is great. But also, sometimes you need to take a step out in faith, and you need to trust that the Lord is going to give you what you need to be able to serve. Because if he's called you to serve your family and your church and your neighbors, then he's going to give you what you need to be able to do that. And again, it doesn't have to be a huge thing. You just see the need around you, and you try to fill it, okay? I was thinking, you know, the other thing is that you're setting an example for your kids, even as they're little now. You're setting an example for them of how to serve the church and how to serve others. And I can remember being a little kid and getting up early on Sunday mornings because my mom was playing in the orchestra, which she still does. And just, you know, as a kid, you're like, oh my gosh, can we get a donut? That's how they got us out the door, you know? But now I look back and I'm like, man, my mom was serving faithfully. And as a kid, I got that. Even if I was like complaining about having to get up before the sun came up, even if I was kind of only in it for a donut, I saw them and my dad too serving. So you have that opportunity now to give that example for them. So the other thing is we're thinking about how people are serving. I actually meant to say this earlier, but I'll say it now. When we're thinking about gifts and we're looking at each other, one of my favorite quotes that actually Sarah Smith told me, it's not from the Bible, it's from Teddy Roosevelt, but he said, comparison is the thief of joy. Have you heard that one? It's so good. We could use that in lots of areas of life. But when we're thinking about serving, that one really is good. I mean, you are not called to do the things that I'm called to, and I'm not called to do the things that you're called to. So if I'm comparing myself to anybody else, if you're comparing yourself to me, we're just going to miss out on what God has for us. So he has good works that he prepared beforehand for me to walk in and for you to walk in, and they're not the same things. So we don't have to compare ourselves to others in that way. I've said this several times before, but look around you and see a need and fill it. So again, if you're like, I don't know where to serve, I don't know what to do, you have these spheres of influence. That's what I've been talking about. And really, so much of it is just keeping your eyes open and doing what you can do in the moment. Again, it doesn't have to be a huge thing. You know, you don't have to search for like, okay, I'm going to do this. You can be purposeful, but I think if we all just kind of looked around and see who needed us, we would see it and be able to fill it. So in the church, you know, we have a lot of singles, we have a lot of elderly people that would love to be just connected with, that would love to be a part of a family. Your kids, as they get older, they can draw pictures. You're gonna have all the pictures. Do you have this already? You know, they're just like scribbling and you're like, I don't know what to do with all these papers. Put them in the mail and send them to people. You know, write a little note from yourself and send it. People love that and it gets out of your house. Take meals to people. You guys are the best at this. New moms are the best at this. This is what I did when I was a new mom. I took meals to all the moms. I had one meal, and that was just my meal. And that's what I took to people, and I dragged my kids along with me. Again, they're little. They may not know what you're doing, but you're dragging them along when you're serving. And that's good for them to see, and it's good practice for you for when they get older and they can do a little more and serve. So think about things like that. Play dates, just so you can encourage. You know, encouraging one another is a spiritual gift. And so if you see a mom that needs a play date and just needs to be encouraged, schedule a play date. That is a way to serve in the church. I put down a couple other practical things. Be a door greeter at the conference. You know, that's a light lift. If you're going to be there anyway, you could do something like that. And then here's my favorite one. Pray. I love that you had those books about praying. Pray with your kids. You know, start praying with them for the missionaries that are here. Pray for them about the women's ministry events that are coming up. Pray for their Sunday school teachers. Pray for our pastors. You know, you can always just be going and teaching them how to pray. And that is serving. And that is also teaching them how to pray. Neighbors, I had baked cookies. They already have the cookie thing. So, you know, bake cookies. Go for a walk. Take some of the pictures to your neighbors. write them cards, invite them to Christmas and Easter. The Christmas concerts are like the easiest way to get people in the door of the church. And as your kids get older and they join children's choir, because they should, that's the best way. Come see my kids sing. No one is going to turn down seeing your kids sing in their church Christmas concert, okay? It will get them in the door. So if you know them, then you just have opportunities to do little things. So hopefully these are sounding like, okay, yeah, I could probably do a couple of those, okay? And like I said, take your kids along with you. Here's the biggest thing. Well, no, I'll say two more things. I kind of said this already. But the Lord is planting seeds where you are right now to prepare you for how you're going to serve now and how you're going to serve in the future. So I kind of said this already, but I never thought that I would be doing the things that I'm doing now when I was in the toddler phase of life. But I can look back now and see, like, you know, I really got into Bible study when my kids were this age. I was like, wow, I really love studying the Bible. And I just had that time where I really got into it, and the Lord just used that and developed it a little bit more. So there are things that He is developing right now that I don't doubt that He will use when the season is right. So also don't discount that and pay attention to what He's doing. And then I started with prayer, and I'm going to end saying to pray again. Pray over your priorities, pray over what He would have you do, ask Him to show you your gifts, but also just pray over each day. I love that verse about God preparing the works. We need to be praying, and I'm saying this to myself, every day, Lord, what are the good works that You have for me to walk in today? And then you've got to trust Him with it, because you don't know, especially in this stage, you don't know, is my day going to be that I'm taking care of a sick kid who threw up in the middle of the night, and now all my plans are out? Those might be the good works that God has for you. You know, that might be it. It might be a neighbor who you see while you're outside, and your neighbor just needs to talk. And you weren't planning on talking that long, but they needed to talk, so that's where you needed to be today. It might be that play date that a mom opens up and needs to talk to you. You don't know. So be flexible, and if you go into your day with that mindset of like, okay, Lord, I know You have these good works for me that You've prepared for me. What are they? Show them to me, help me to walk in them and to be faithful, and help me to trust You to equip me and give me the strength to do it. So I hope that that's helpful. Like I said, we've got to ground it in the gospel, that it's not our works, it's Christ's work that saves us. And He saves us for good works that we can walk in them in our family, in our church, in our neighborhood. And then he uses us, and we need to trust Him and pray about it. So I hope that in your time at your tables, you'll get to talk and work out some more of the practical things too. But let me pray for you as we close tonight. Lord, once again, I just thank You for the women in this room. I thank You for the way that they demonstrate sacrificial love to their families, the way that You love us so sacrificially. And Lord, I do just pray that You would help all of us to walk in the good works that You've prepared for us. Would You show them to us? Would You help us to identify them? Would You help us to know how to prioritize and balance things? Would You give us wisdom? And would You give us strength and equip us to do these good works? Again, not for ourselves, not so that we could boast about anything, but that we can boast in You, and that we can give You the glory, and that the people around us would see our good works, and they would glorify You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.